Hey guys, welcome back to the Love and Dubai Show. It is your Tuesday morning. Today we spoke about the Sheikh who has visited Palestinian children who have arrived at UAE hospitals. And we have more on that story, more on what the UAE is doing to help Palestine right now.
And another act of kindness in Dubai. What's that about?
It's the cutest viral video. We'd love your thoughts on it, by the way. Also, big events coming up, the Great Circus of Europe and Yaslam After Race Concert, with all of that on the show, as well as Ali trying to get the tea about Real Housewives of Dubai from Talene Marie.
I tried, guys. I tried my best.
She gave him nothing, but she did talk about her journey,
yes,
which is truly inspiring. So yeah, we'd love you to take a listen. Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Our top story for you today, a sheikh visits Palestinian children who have arrived at UAE hospitals.
A blogger in Dubai is giving free hugs.
We're talking about the Great Circus of Europe. It is coming. It is going to be a blast.
And we've got the lowdown on everything great happening at the Yaslam after concert. After race concerts.
It is certainly event season. And also, guys, do stay tuned because later on in the show, we are joined by the newest Real Housewives of Dubai star, Talene Marie, is going to be talking all about the upcoming season, fitness, music, and drama. We are super excited. She is joining a cast of incredible, phenomenal ladies who have actually sat in this very seat. Ali Baba, are you a fan?
Yes.
Are you a fan of reality TV?
I like reality TV. Yeah.
What type of reality TV shows would you watch?
I've watched a lot of like dating reality TV shows.
Yeah.
Those are fun.
Love Island.
Yeah, Love is Blind, Love Island. Some show that cannot be named. It's very like, it's on Netflix anyway. People will know it if I say it's on Netflix.
I'm thinking. The mind is worrying.
Okay. It starts with too hot.
Say no more.
Yeah.
Say no more.
Yeah. I like sometimes the drama and the, you know, who doesn't like a little bit of drama?
Yeah. It's so interesting because reality TV gets an interesting reputation. But for me, I just find it's such an it's escapism. And I think that's what TV is. That's what social media is. And now when sometimes, you know, the world is such a challenging place and it's actually so easy to just jump onto something that totally takes you away. And it's of course, the drama is like, you know, it's encouraged and, you know, there's additions. It's get your popcorn out type stuff. But I love it.
Yeah.
I do.
That's what reality TV shows. And you get to learn a few things. Like they make mistakes. They learn from them. You know, they have arcs.
Start, middle, and end.
You know, so you get to learn some valuable things from the shows as well. So it's not meaningless. It has value. So.
Fashion inspiration.
Yeah, you can take fashion inspiration. Yeah.
But there's so many. So like Real Housewives, obviously big season. Dubai Bling has landed in Dubai and they're produced here. There's also the Below Decks of the world, the Love Islands. And it's just like it's a full 24 episodes of people putting their real lives on TV. And you're just thinking it's so easy to judge
that
from your seat.
That could never be me. To be 24 hours with a camera.
What if someone came along and said they were going to film The Love in Dubai, Day in the Life of a Presenter, and your life here? You wouldn't do it?
I would do it.
Bit of cash?
Yeah, I would do it if it's related to outside of my private life.
Got you.
Because I'm a very private person.
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah, I don't like to share my life. Unless I know you.
That's very interesting. And that is definitely one of the questions we'll put to Talene today is like, what is it like putting your personal life on the forefront for the public to decide, really? So we're going to get to that at 8:50. So do stay tuned. But first of all, let's jump into our big stories of the morning for you guys. A sheikh visited the Palestinian children who have arrived in UAE hospitals. A UAE royal dropped by for a special visit to hospitals where Palestinian children and families are receiving crucial medical care. His Highness Sheikh Taheb bin Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, who is chairman of the Office of Development and Martyr Family Affairs at the Presidential Court, he paid a visit to Palestinian children and their families undergoing medical treatment, and this is actually happening in hospitals across the UAE.
Sheikh Diab personally attended to the bedside of injured children, adult family members, and child cancer patients from Palestine. This care is part of the initiative directed by President, by His Highness, by President His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, aiming to provide treatment for 1,000 Palestinian children at healthcare facilities in the UAE. He chatted with the young patients, wishing them a quick recovery.
And as we spoke about yesterday, this is just a small part that we can play here in the UAE. And we know that the medical teams here are going to be giving them the warmest welcome, which is just so touching. Additionally to this story, the premature babies evacuated from Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital, they are now also receiving dedicated care at the UAE-run Al-Hilal Emirati Maternity Hospital, while further UAE humanitarian aid has set off from Al Arish, Egypt, towards the Rafah border crossing on Sunday. And we'll bring you all of the updates on that later on today on the Love in Dubai website, so do stay tuned.
Yes. Moving on to our next story, another act of kindness within Dubai.
Love this video, went viral yesterday. It's the cutest thing.
I love the guy. You know what's his name? We'll get to his name. It's very interesting. A blogger in Dubai is spreading love and kindness. This guy is spreading love and kindness in Dubai one hug at a time. As you can see right beside us, a blogger decided to give out free hugs while holding up a sign at JBR saying, if you think the world needs more love, here you are. A free hug.
A free hug. So he did this down in JBR, and I think the nice thing is that he was totally blindfolded.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just like free hugs for all. The purpose of being blindfolded was he was saying, I'm accepting hugs from anyone who embraced him. It doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, size, nationality, race, gender, anything. It just blindfolded, let's get in for a hug. Yeah. Let's just hug it out. Relieve that tension, you know, that we all feel.
Yeah. And the blogger, you know, we got to the name now. So the blogger calls himself Mr. Free Hug on IG.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's truly amazing how one small act of kindness can bring so much joy to people around you. Like, you don't know that someone might have needed a hug that day. A hug goes a long way, you know. Even for mental health reasons, like, a hug can be very beneficial towards that.
If my mic wasn't going to fall off, I'd give you a hug now. Sometimes even a self-hug, does that count?
Self-hug.
But also hugs, paying it forward, charity, acts of kindness. We spoke about the show. This happened to me on Sunday a couple of weekends ago. I mentioned that I went for breakfast and the table beside us, who we'd had a quick chat with, they paid for a breakfast. And it really got me thinking about the small acts of kindness that you can do to make someone's day, whether it's a small tip, whether it's leaving water, whether it's just like a thank you and a smile or maybe a hug. There's a lot of things that we can do as people to pay it forward and to make someone else's day that little bit better. And these types of stories actually make you think about it, which I think is nice.
Yes, you don't need to be a superhero. Just one small act, you can be a hero to everyone.
It's lines like that, Alibaba.
You should clip that.
You can quote that for Alibaba, guys. Let's jump into our next story. The Great Circus of Europe is coming. It is a breathtaking spectacle that fuses timeless circus traditions with cutting-edge performances. Gandhi's Great Circus of Europe has been producing circus productions for over 100 years, and this crew are on the fourth generation, so you know it's going to be good. Get ready to be spellbound by world-class acrobatics, mesmerized by mind-bending contortionists, and thrilled by fearless daredevils.
Marvel at the grace of aerialists and laugh along with their talented clowns, whether you're a seasoned circus enthusiast or a newcomer to the magic of the big top. This promises non-stop entertainment for the entire family.
It actually looks epic. So the Great Circus of Europe is coming. It's running from November 17th to December 16th in Al Ain. Tickets start from just 75 dirham. Do not miss out. Bring the family. I don't know about you, but I have amazing memories from the circus growing up. You know, it would come to town once a year, every year. The big top, so cool. Like the smells, the sights, the sounds, and the very memorable, the circus performer, the circus conductor, and he would always say the same. He'd have such a booming voice.
Yeah, he would be the loudest person there with all the music and the lights, and he's the main attraction.
And the amazing suit that he would wear, and you have so many memories of that. Yeah. So I think it's so cool they're bringing a stage, and this is obviously coming to the UAE, so it's going to be phenomenal. So if you want to bring the family, it's going to be running for nearly an entire month. I would get up there.
It's one fantastic event that's happening. I love circuses, you know. I've always, like, even when I was a kid, when there wasn't a circus in town, I would see them in movies, and I would just be like, interesting. They would do the gymnastics. They would fly and do these crazy stunts, you know, and have these animals and like the clowns, and it was just amazing for me, you know.
And this is what they say, that the contortionists are just going to be incredible. We've seen some videos of what's to come. So if you want to relive those memories, or you've got kids who'd like to do something spectacular, this is for them. It's called the Great Circus of Europe. Yes. Jumping on, guys, it is event season and there is so much happening. And how could we not mention the lineup for the Yasalam After Race Concerts presented by E&? It is epic. Get ready for the music event of the year. The Yasalam After Race Concerts presented by E&, are here to ignite your nights with the perfect blend of Formula One adrenaline and live music euphoria. It's happening November 23rd to 26th at Etihad Park. Remember those dates. And if you want to get closer to the stars, don't miss the exclusive Golden Circle upgrade, which is now available.
And it's time to level up your experience and make an unforgettable memories. Let's dive into the lineup of the performances that await you at the Yasalam After Race Concerts. The lineup is huge, kicking off with Ava Max and Tiesto on November 23rd. And then, oh, big one, Chris Brown on November 24th. I know a lot of people that would scream by just hearing that. Shania Twain on November 25th, and the Foo Fighters on November 26th.
Shania Twain, what a legend, taking to the stage. And just as we said, if you have your tickets, you need to upgrade to Golden Circle. Early bird discounts available for 48 hours from now. It's going to be epic. There's nothing like seeing your musical idol even closer to the stage and all of the benefits that come along with that. So if you want a truly memorable experience at the Yasalam After Race Concerts, get your Golden Circle tickets now.
Yeah, I've had wonderful memories and experiences at the Yasalam.
Such a great weekend.
Wonderful, wonderful. Like, if you want to have a really, really good time, that's the place to go.
That's the place to go.
Yes.
Speaking of having a really good time, if going out isn't your thing, what about staying in and catching up on the greatest reality series of all time? We are now going to be joined by the newest Real Housewives of Dubai star, Talene Marie, is going to talk fitness, music, and season 2T. We are so excited to have her on the show. Do stay tuned. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Today we have a very special guest. She began her career in music. She performed for Pope John Paul II before she moved to Dubai in 2014. She is the newest cast member to join the Real Housewives of Dubai season 2. Welcome to the show, Talene Marie. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.
We are so excited to have you on the show. You've no idea. Big fans of Real Housewives. Big fans.
Yeah, we were talking about reality TV shows earlier. And in the show, and we talked about what we actually love watching, and the Real Housewives of Dubai was one of them.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you're going to love season 2 because I'm on it. So
you are on it, and you're the only new cast member to join. For like, how does that even come about? Do you approach Andy, because Andy's obviously
right.
Mr. Magician?
He's the head. So what happened is my good friend, who was on the first season, she's also on the second season, she put my name forward as all the girls, when they do the casting for season 2, because Nina Ali, you know, took a step back, they needed a replacement. So each girl, they would put, you know, their names, their friends' names forward. And then from that point, I just went through like a very extensive audition process, so to say, interview process. You know, they want to make sure I'm legit and that I'm ready to put my life on camera, which it's not easy, you know, to put your privacy out there. So they want to make sure that all the ducks are in a row, so to speak. And yeah, the rest is history. It just worked out.
And could you tell us, like, what is the criteria to become a housewife?
You have to be a little crazy, I think. Your mental health has to be questionable. No, I'm kidding. No, I mean, look, you. I'm obviously married. I live in Dubai. I have 2 children. I'm an entrepreneur, not just a mother and a wife. I've been in this region for about 10 years. And I've been in the entertainment business since, I mean, I was a professional singer at the age of 9. So, you know, I've kind of been in this game. I've never done reality TV, but I do think that that was a a pivotal thing for the producers, that I was comfortable enough to share my life and be on TV.
But was that a big step for you? Because I think this is exactly what we were talking about before you joined the show, that like it takes a lot of nerve to put you and your family to the public.
Totally, totally.
So were you prepared for that? And do they actually help you? Do they have conversations with you about it?
You know, the biggest thing for both my husband and I, because, you know, it was a big decision, as you're saying, was, you know, do we put our children on the show? You know, I have a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, and I don't want to exploit my kids in any way. So that was, for us, our biggest thing. But, you know, when they're filming for 8 hours in your home, you know, how do you find that balance? And my thing was, I'm being a mother is so part of who I am. And I've had a very difficult journey to get to that point. And when you watch season 2, you'll understand my story. So I felt like that was an important part of my life. And it's such a priority in my life that we ended up saying, you know what, let's go all in. Mm-hmm. You know, let's just, when I put my heart into something, I'm going to do it 110%. I didn't want to hold back. But of course, it was a tough decision. I mean, my husband has been in this region for about 20 years. So, you know, he has a reputation. He's worked with the government. And sometimes these reality shows, they get a bad rap and they can, you know, thrive off scandal and this and that. So we definitely had to make a conscious decision. But I knew that I wasn't doing this for fame. I was doing this as a platform and to be able to connect with people, especially mothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we want to know, who was the most welcoming housewife?
Good question. Mm. I have to say Sarah Almadani. Mm-hmm. She was, like, she literally welcomed me with open arms. I actually met her a couple months before I even knew I was going to be on the show. She knew that I was kind of in the interview process. And yeah, she was very, very welcoming, very warm, very genuine. That's just the person she is.
You know, when you say the interview process, like, what is that like? Do they kind of introduce you to all the housewives to make sure that you have chemistry?
Well, they definitely, I knew a lot of the housewives because it kind of has to make sense, right? There has to be somewhat of a connection. But for me, I was actually in the States when I was doing the interview process, and it was all via Zoom. So I would just go through different producers. It's kind of like a ladder. You go through a casting agency, and then you go to the production, and then you go to Bravo, and then Andy, you know, the god by the end of it. So it really goes through like a totem pole, so to say. But it's very extensive. And then, you know, they have to make sure that the family is on board. So they interviewed my husband, which he was against it, by the way, in the beginning. He's like, I don't know if I can do this. But by the end of it, he's like, where's my makeup team? Where's my lighting guy? Like, he's Mr. Hollywood now. He loves it. He loves every second of it.
And he's met all the other husbands and they all get on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They all get on. They all. It was nice because my husband and I both, like, we're kind of people that were somewhat peacekeepers. I mean, we like to bring people together. And I think there is drama, of course, even between me and some of the girls. But he was able to bring a lot of the husbands together, which you didn't see as much in season 1. So in season 2, I think you're going to see kind of a masculine point of view, which will be nice. And then I was able to bring kind of some of the girls together somewhat.
Mm. You know, you mentioned that obviously one of the concerns was the backlash that you might face. When season 1 came out, the backlash was about, you know, this isn't a real representation of Dubai.
Yeah.
How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you say housewives, a lot of people take that in the traditional sense. And when you look at the franchise of Real Housewives, these women are not just sitting at home and caretaking. You know, we're, as housewives, it shouldn't be that, you know? I think if anything, we're empowering housewives and women all over, and we're showing that we're not just mothers, we're not just wives, we're not just, you know, at home, we're entrepreneurs, we're empowering other women. So I knew that that backlash was going to come, especially being the first franchise coming out of the Middle East. Mm-hmm. We all knew that that was going to come. But I think all the women on the cast, we are here to break those barriers and to to show what it really should be and what it is, mm-hmm. and be trailblazers, so to speak.
Earlier, you touched upon drama.
All Ali's questions are for
He's in it for the drama. Let's hear it, Ali.
Yes. So what is the biggest drama of the season?
Well, you're going to have to wait and see because I'm not going to give the tea. But I will say that a lot of the dynamics change through the friend groups. And I think that's normal with any group of friends. There's a lot of highs. The highs are high. The lows are low. And I think the biggest difference between the first season and this season is, you know, the first season, the girls weren't as comfortable with each other. And a lot of people maybe could say that it felt a bit forced. Even though they knew each other, they were somewhat of a group. This season, those friendships are a lot more solidified, which means the drama is a lot more solidified and it does go deeper. So I'm not going to give you details, Ali. I'm sorry. Sure. But you are going to wait and see because there is a lot of drama. But there also is a lot of positivity and love through it. I hope people watch it for that as well. Ali doesn't. He watches it for the drama. But so you're gonna get a lot of everything.
Well, rather than telling us about drama, could you name someone who instigates the drama?
Like, ooh, you're gonna get me in trouble, Casey. The instigator, I would say. All right. I'm going to say it's Caroline Brooks, the girl that brought me in.
Your bestie.
My bestie. She instigated a lot of it. That's all I'm going to say.
Caroline Brooks.
That's all I'm going to say.
Caroline, you've been taken down by your bestie
that's
on the show.
It. I'm sorry. But look, maybe she didn't mean to. Some people just have it in them where I respect her in the sense she speaks her mind and she speaks her truth. And that can ruffle a lot of feathers sometimes. So I don't know if she was consciously doing it, but hey, I mean, the show needs that. So it's a good thing.
Let's rewind a little bit. Okay. And can you tell us a little bit about your music career?
Yes. So I started singing at a very young age. I'm from the States, actually, originally. From Washington, D.C., right outside of D.C. in Virginia. I started professionally singing opera, actually. That's when I sang for Pope John Paul II. I sang at the White House. I sang at six operas. Then from there, I moved to Los Angeles, where I moved into more pop R&B that was always ingrained in me. And I was signed with Jamie Foxx. And that was such a great platform for me because obviously it opened so many doors. You know, he had just filmed the movie Ray. He was at the height of his career. So I was able to work with just incredible producers. I worked on American Idol. I got to open up for Christina Aguilera in Abu Dhabi, actually. So it was an incredible experience singing and songwriting. But then I migrated towards fitness. And I'm jumping the gun a bit, but that's kind of... That happened once I moved to Dubai. But I'm still singing, just not, I'm not trying to like shake my booty and be the next Beyonce.
So incredible.
I'll get injured if I do that. I think I'm too old for that now.
What a wild career path to have led.
Yeah.
One thing I read, correct me if I'm wrong, you moved to Dubai in 2014 for love?
I did, yeah. So I met my husband, Raphael, in the States, actually. I was living in LA and he was in Dubai. Mm. So it was an extremely long distance relationship, like a 16-hour flight, long distance relationship. But we made it work for 2 years.
Wow. Anyone watching long distance relationships, they can work.
It works. If you want it to work, it works, but you gotta want it. And he's the love of my life. It was the greatest decision that I made. And I moved here once we got married, which was 2014. And I've been here ever since. Two kids later and a reality show later.
A reality show and a career in fitness.
And a career in fitness. Yeah. So when I moved here, you know, I've always been in fitness my whole life, even while I was doing music. But when I moved here 10 years ago, I realized there was a space and a need for fitness, particularly among women. And it wasn't like how it is now where, you know, you see just fitness everywhere. So I really wanted to empower women. And I ran boot camps tailored for ladies only and personal training, nutrition, mental wellness, all of that. And it was so fulfilling for me. And that's actually because when I first moved to Dubai the first year, it's not that I didn't like it. It was just that transitional period. You know, I didn't have my own thing. So once I found a place for myself in fitness, it was just very obvious for me that I wanted to continue that. And after having children and going through my journey, which you'll see on the second season that I talk about my story, I wanted to focus more on fitness postpartum with postpartum mothers, or fitness with mothers who are pregnant or thinking about it. Because for me, fitness, you know, I regained my identity through fitness. And that's kind of my message.
In Dubai, we are a fast-paced environment, mm-hmm. as everybody knows,
yes.
living here. Do you have any top fitness tips for a healthy lifestyle in Dubai?
Yeah, you know, with Dubai, I think it's very easy. I remember when I first came out here, I was just eating out all the time. Like, there's a new restaurant popping up every day. Yeah, exactly. And it's always so good, right? Mm-hmm. It spoils us. The food here is the best, the drinks, the food. Mm. And, you know, while I promote moderation, everything in moderation, because I don't think you should completely restrict your life, I do think nutrition is so important. I'm on a meal plan with Right Bite, actually. They're an incredible company. I'm not trying to plug it, but they are very, very good. And not that everyone should be on a meal plan, but I think that meal prep and knowing your caloric intake and at least trying to eat well during the week is very important, and give yourself the wiggle room on the weekend. So I think eating is the number one. Mm. And then, of course, just moving every day. Try to get your steps in. You don't have to be, you know, pumping iron at 5 a.m., but at least get your steps in, and hydration, especially in the desert.
Interesting. Before you leave us, I think one thing that you touched on is that the stereotype of housewives isn't what it is. And actually, what you're doing is trailblazing women. You're starting businesses. You're doing a lot more than what it looks like, I guess, from the forefront. So do you have advice for working moms, moms in business, who are trying to balance a life and just trying to keep it going? What is your top tip for maintaining a healthy life balance?
Red wine really helps. Lots of it. No. No, I mean, that's a great question. I think, I take that question very personal, because for me, it's always trying to find that balance. I think we have to go easy on ourselves. We all have that mom guilt. You know, we always feel like we're never doing enough and we're never spending enough time with our children. So I think my biggest advice is go easy on yourself. When you follow your dreams and when you do what you love, your children see that. And to me, that's inspiring. And I want my daughters to see that I wasn't just sitting at home and being that traditional housewife. I was doing what I love to do while still trying to balance. It's hard. It's hard. I deal with it every day. But the advice is go easy on yourself. Do what you love to do. Surround yourself with family, a good support system. You know, I couldn't do what I do without my mother being here. She comes from the States, my sister, my mother-in-law. You know, they all, it takes a village, as mm-hmm. they say. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, and my husband, of course. And I think when you surround yourself with a good team, anything is possible.
Amazing. Love that so much, guys. That is Talene Marie, the newest star on Real Housewives of Dubai. She'll be joining season 2. When is it coming?
So I know as much as you. Like, we still don't have a date, but very, very soon.
We wanted a trailer up here. We
couldn't. I know. Trust me. I do, too. But it is worth the wait.
Very soon. We're talking pre-Christmas. Do we know?
Again, I don't know. And I really don't know. But hopefully soon.
To a screen near you very soon.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being so open in the conversation.
Of course. Anytime. I love what you guys do, by the way. Really. I love in Dubai. I'm not just saying that. It's amazing the current events that you guys post. I have a lot of respect for you guys. So thank you so much for having me. I'm honored to be here, really.
So kind of you. Thank you so much. Guys, that is it for us on the Love in Dubai show. We're back with you tomorrow morning at same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.